Thanks. I don't really. I mean, all I know is that the state is definitely going to revise Health Mandate 10 to strengthen the requirements around the quarantine for specifically for seafood processing workers, because they're in tight, close, you know, quarters. There and what they're seeing in food processing plants in the lower 48, they want to require testing during that 14-day quarantine for people coming into the state from out of the state for seafood processing. Other than that, it's been a really frustrating kind of communication flow about, okay, the state's going to require testing. Well, now where do we go to get the test? Who do we communicate with? And as far as industry is concerned, and then the communication between, you know, when a company calls a local facility, they may say, we don't have the capacity to do what you want, or we're not allowed to do non-symptomatic, you know, asymptomatic people yet. So there's a lot of confusion about what's allowed, who's paying for it, who's got what capacity of testing and that kind of thing. So we were hoping for more coordination of information from the state. I don't know if how you all felt about the meeting today, the Southeast Regional meeting, but it still seems like a work in progress. But hopefully, it did sound like there's more capacity to test in Southeast. Again, how that plays out as far as who's paying for it and who does it, and the differences between the time it takes to go through the test and that kind of thing, depending on what equipment the facility has, all that stuff is all just logistics, I guess, that individual companies are working out with their the medical facilities in their community. I think the question I brought up at the meeting that I think is important as a next stage is, once all of our processing workers are here and clean and start working, the facilities that have community members also working there, how do we make sure that all of the workers remain clean, because the community workers are still going back and forth into the community, so it could be a source of cross-contamination. And so to me, that means some sort of periodic testing throughout the season. But I haven't heard of any kind of recommended, from a medical point of view of what that should look like. But it's something I guess to think about for once the season gets underway.
Assembly, Mr. Mayor, could I add?
Sure, go ahead.
We had heard that potentially what was being considered was asking community residents who are working in fish processing plants that they would have to quarantine all summer as well, in order to not be bringing stuff back into the plant once the folks that are being transplanted from outside are clean, if they are being quarantined themselves for the summer. But we haven't seen that either. So there are a lot of unanswered questions for sure.
I might suggest that instead of the word clean, we substitute that with uninfected. That's horrible. Yes, and I think that one of the fears with that is they're going to lose all of their local people in the plants, because, you know, to go in your home and you work at the cannery and now you're absolutely quarantined for your season, that's going to be a tough one on local folks. But to bring it back to Wrangell specifically, we actually have a unique situation where we've got a small operation with a limited number of outside folks. And so in many ways, we are ideally set up to be able to do this. And I know in conversations with Lynn, she has said that Search is looking, that if they have the test, they want to do the test. They have applied a price tag to that test of $175 a test. And I think that if for our fishermen and for, in industry, able to use our CARES Act money to help offset those costs for industry, I'm all about it. But I think we actually have a great deal of local capacity to set up those programs, Julie, that where, you know, if you were looking at some of the other communities where their community doubles by the processor volume, you could just see it becoming absolutely horrible. But we could potentially have a much stricter testing regime. And also I'll point out, I just got tested yesterday and it's no longer the nasopharyngeal swab, which is quite honestly one of the worst things I've had done in a long time. It's just a little swab in the nose. So it's not even, you know, a lot of people didn't want to do it because it is uncomfortable to do. So that makes a big difference too. And I know their test, at least at Surge, from what I'm hearing, and Dr. Burrell spoke about it today on our meeting, that, you know, their capacity is increasing. And I think there is a move to be able to help communities with their industry. So as far as Wrangell goes here, I think we are better situated than most communities to be able to do a good job of this. And I, with Julie, though, I hope our community realizes that our own community behavior outside of industry can impact our industries dramatically. So if we're not doing a good job, we in essence can turn around and be the vector back into the industry, back into the fleet. And that's an, you know, we're trying to eke out this economic recovery. We need to make it work. So Julie, take it.
Yeah, thanks. And I mean, I carry that message to the fishermen in particular, because a lot of times fishermen think, and it's true, when they're out on the water, you know, they're very isolated and they're not interacting with people. But I tell them, it's when you come back to this town and you go to the grocery store or the hardware store, that's where you're most at risk. And so you really have to be careful of those interactions and to minimize those interactions and helping sort of implant that in people's minds, because you're right, the community could actually, we've been thinking about it as, you know, the industry being the risk, but it could be the community that's risking the industry, putting the industry at risk. So it goes both ways, and the virus doesn't care who you are. And so it really is important for everybody to be following sort of these science-based procedures. Lisa, your point earlier about having local community or members working, community members are working at a processing plant, quarantine all summer, it's just not practical. I mean, they go home to their home and there's somebody else living there. That's not quarantine, you know, not a real quarantine. And so it's just not practical. We had the same conversation on the industry level about fishermen that live in a community and they're just fishing out of their community, coming back and forth. And they said, is it realistic? Can we ask that fisherman to quarantine all summer and stay away from their families? It's like, really, you're going to ask somebody that lives locally to not go back to their home? So it is important for everybody to continue sort of this personal responsibility around town as well.
I concur with that. I don't have anything else, Mr. Mayor, unless those of you that were on the fisheries call today would like to give more of an update. I know that Captain Spray was on. She's not on the call tonight. Assemblymember Decker was on. Mr. Mayor, you were on for a while. And Kim was on the call as well. So I don't know if anybody wants to jump in here and talk about that.
Before we do that, Assemblymember Gilbert, you had your hand up there.
Correct. I wasn't on the call, but I had a question or a suggestion concerning the CARES Act funding. Would you please make sure you include the school in your discussions? I know that the school did get some COVID money to the tune of $86,000, or they will receive that money, we think. But if you would just coordinate with the school.
Certainly, Assemblymember Gilbert. There are other agencies that have, local agencies that have reached out as well. So we are, we're addressing a number of needs, but I committed to, and I will make sure that I reach out to the superintendent.
Thank you, Lisa. So Kim or Julie, do you guys have anything you'd like to add from the Fish Southeast Fisheries meeting today?
This is Julie. I think just in general, it was an effort on behalf of the state to try to pull the different entities together. The reality, though, is in a one-hour call, there's really only so much that can be done. But I think them setting the tone and the expectation for these kind of entities to work together is the right thing. I haven't been able to talk with others that have been involved in the other regional meetings to see how it's going in other regions, if they feel like they're effective or not. It does sound like there's going to be another one follow up on June 2nd. I don't know how productive it was, but I think, you know, you got to just make things in steps. And so I appreciate the first step forward there.
Kim, anything you wanted to add?
Sure. So one thing Tom Kowalski had said was, with regards to the amount of plans that they've received so far, the processor plans. So he said that they had received roughly 80 of those plans so far, and that they should be, they're anticipating receiving a few more, so just under 100 plans or thereabouts, and they should all be reviewed by the end of May. And then they're looking at plans to have those plans go through a medical review. And then if there are suggested amendments or modifications to be made, then those processors will be contacted to see about modifying their plan. He also said that we should anticipate an appendix to Mandate 17 coming forward that'll address set netter, skiffs, and harvesters. And then one other thing, one of the sports fishing people, I think Kenai Sports Fishing, had talked about, and it was kind of interesting, the impacts to South Central and Southeast Alaska, and that wanting to know or make sure that they're the notification of what should be done comes forward pretty quick, because as the seasons start to amp up and they need to make modifications to their plants or their plans, that's hard to do on the fly when the salmon season has already started. So
thanks, Kim. They were also very interested in when we're going to have the interstate ban or quarantine lifted. So my prediction is that by the end of May, early June, that interstate will be lifted for the quarantine. So unless something dramatically changes. And I'm just saying that from, I think there's probably a lot of pressure from industry, because, you know, the cruise ships can't operate. The charter fishermen can't operate. There's a lot of things that folks can't do with that ban in place. So I think we'll see that. If everything's going well, my guess is they'll retreat really quickly. If we start getting cluster outbreaks and communities that, you know, like ours that have no cases, all of a sudden get a lot of cases, they'll back up and punt, because we're such a closed ecosystem. It protects us in some ways, and it's really detrimental in other ways. But I just want to quickly comment on work that has been going on towards just getting prepared. Search is revising its surge plan, and they're going to roll that out to the assembly, I think, at our next meeting. They've done some modifications, and I think they've been looking at a slightly different approach to it. And as well, I've gotten some more information from search on some things regarding our own you know, sort of our COVID positive area that we're trying to put together. So if a fisherman that's from out of town shows up COVID positive, we have a facility that they can go do their 2-week quarantine in. You know, they're not ill enough to be in the hospital, but they've got to be off the street, and their boat may even left to go out and fish, and they're here and they need a place to stay. but we may have some other alternatives and some other things that we can look at doing there. So we'll be bringing those back. We're going to meet tomorrow and figure it out, but we're still moving forward with being as prepared as we can if we start getting cases. So does anybody else have anything else they'd like to add?
Mr. Mayor? Whoops, go ahead. No, you can't see me waving. There. Go ahead.
There's a little blue hand that works really well. That's what
I brought that up. I still am, as an individual, disappointed in the number of people that are not wearing masks in town. And I realize there's probably nothing we can do about that other than encouragement, but it's an issue.
I agree. And unfortunately, I think the masks have become a political statement, which is extremely unfortunate.
Yes.
And I don't view it as anything more than, you know, my number one priority is the physical health of the community and then the economic health of the community. And unfortunately for the one, they're so closely related that if we start to have poor health, we're going to have poor economics. So I worry about that people don't seem to be making to equating it. And it's really unfortunate. I'll be honest with you. My going into the market with my mask on, I actually feel silly because I'm one of the few people wandering around with a mask on. And it's bizarre. It should
just bizarre.
Be the norm. So I'm with you, Ann. Yeah. Julie?
Yeah, I was just wondering if, Lisa, do you have an update on the isolation facility, how that's going?
Thank you, Assemblymember Decker. That was one of the things that the mayor was referring to. Search is looking at some alternatives, which may change the way that we're approaching the isolation, the alternative isolation site. And so that'll be part of the meeting that they're having tomorrow. And I think we'll be able to report out on that early next week sometime. I know we're only having meetings once a week, but we'll get information out as necessary regarding that. Is that correct, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, yeah, that's exactly right. Sorry, Julie, I guess I wasn't clear that what I was talking about with the things have changed is that we're just trying to figure out exactly how we're gonna approach moving forward.
Okay, so there's two parts. There's the moving long-term care potentially, so they have additional beds, but then there's also the separate isolation facility. And so I'll just wait for more information on that.
It's both. They're looking at things that would revise both from what we initially came forward with.
So the long-term care movement, moving long-term care to the lodge was a part of their surge plan, and they're revamping that surge plan to have a slightly different approach to it. And then the second thing is that search has made us aware of some other things that we may be able to take advantage of that may alter how we do the COVID respite area. I don't know. We don't have a great title for it, Julie. So just the retreat where folks can go and do their 2-week isolation, but we'll get those out. We're still sorting it out, and it's changing day to day. It really is. So we'll get the best info out next week. Lisa, do you have anything else for us?
Mr. Mayor, I do not.
Yay. Well, just a reminder to the community that's listening, we're doing a great job because we don't have any cases of COVID in our community, but we can always do a little bit better. And we've really taken an approach of asking and encouraging, and that's how we hope we can keep moving forward. But remember that somebody's job may be reliant on the small, simple act of wearing a mask, and we'll give you one. If you need a mask, we'll get you one. And shop owners and employees, please wear the mask because that helps stop the spread to your customers. And so the more we do in a positive way right now, the hopefully the longer we can stay open for business and get this thing turned around. It really is important. All right. If there's no other little blue hands, we'll call the meeting at 6:17.